You're listening to the Comic Crusaders Podcast. I am your host, Al Mega, CEO of Comic Crusaders and Undercover Capes. In this show, I'm sitting down with creators from all walks of life to talk about inspiration, process, the lessons they've learned, and a whole lot more.
What up, man? This is your boy, Al Mega. Welcome to your brand new Comic Crusaders Podcast. Yo, Happy New Year for those that have missed the first episode. It's the second of the year. Catch up on that other one because we're about to talk about the same universe. That's right, baby. We're going to dig deep into some Spawn Universe stuff in a bit. But more so than that, because we're talking to an amazing creator. And I didn't follow that universe, but he's also so much more. I mean, he's not just a comic creator. He's a freelance illustrator, comic artist, concept designer. He's a boss with some good titles under his belt. He is a champ. He is a future star. Let me introduce you to the one, the only Don Guillo. Welcome to the show, brother. How you doing?
What's up? I'm doing great. Happy New Year, man. I love your energy, by the way.
Yeah, some people are quite overwhelmed that you know, some podcasts be short because they just be overwhelmed. They're okay, don't get stuck. Damn it. It's all good. We got a vibe, baby, because, you know, you are an amazing artist. Your artistry is, whoa, Jesus. Let me tell you, we're about to find out. So, Big Don, we need to know that origin story first, as always. Where are you originally hailed from? Where you at now? But most importantly, what was the first thing that you ever fell in love with in fandom? Doesn't matter what it is. First thing. Okay.
All right. I'm Filipino. I'm from the northern Philippines I'm Ilocano from Cagayan Valley, but I came to the United States when I was five. And I grew up in State College, Pennsylvania. So finally my books got to the comic swap in State College, and that's when I knew. I was like, oh man, I think I made it. I used to go to the comic shop every day, like in the summer. My brother and I would ride our bikes there, and that was part of my dream. So, I was supposed to be a teacher, but I think freshman year, I was like, I took my art class for my elective. And I was like, I can't drop this pencil. I got to keep going. So I switched majors and then I told my parents. So I think, I sort of dropped the bomb there.
Oh, dang.
But, ever since then, I've just taken it and tried to find my own way, because I didn't know anyone to follow footsteps with, so I just followed like my art heroes in the industry.
What was the angle you told your parents though? Hey, at least I'm still in school.
That was their only thing. They're like, your degree, fine, do whatever it is you need to do, I guess. And you know, I got some early support. So it may not have been 100% support, but it got me through, and I hope that now it's now paying off and I'm happy with it. So, what was the first thing? I think, Man and all the, you know, Saturday morning cartoons, I think the first comic that fell in my hands in the third grade, a friend regifted me an X-Men anniversary issue with a foil cover. And I was like, I don't know what this is. And the corner was like folded over, so I can tell it was a comic he just like pulled off the shelf and decided to like re-gift to me. Had no idea I'd like it at all. He was just like, it's a birthday party, so here's a comic. And I read it and I fell in love. So X-Men got me in. Nice. Yeah, and I'm still falling hard. So
you still have that book?
I do. I do. I should put it up.
As beat up as my first book is up on the wall. Yeah,
definitely. Yeah, I have a Spawn shrine up. I have all my Donatello action figures, so I should put up my first X-Men comic that I ever fell in love on the wall right there.
Awesome.
Maybe I'll still have room for my desk. I don't know.
Yeah, man, come on, bro. Put them all over, bro. Decorate that room, darn it. All right, now, talk about that. Did you have a tribe growing up? You know, besides your brother, with your fandom, or was it just a family thing?
It was just a family thing. It was like four of us, my parents, my brother. We were some of the only Filipinos in central Pennsylvania. So it's like, it was tough to come by. Culturally, it was like a little, you know, we didn't really have much going up. And then when
you definitely didn't have no food of your type unless it was cooked at home.
Yeah, that's fine. Mom and dad were fantastic cooks, so like so I still have to learn the recipes. But yeah, I didn't complain. I didn't have anything to complain about in terms of food. But then so that's why I moved out to the Bay Area. I mean, it's one of the reasons. I'm like in the hub of film culture here, so I get to enjoy that now.
Yeah,
I tried for like, I think fellow artists or artists who wanted to be artists. So especially going up in Penn State in the art program there, I had a lot of people around me, a lot of creatives.
Really? Were you on only Filipinos also in the art program when you were, you know, doing the school thing?
No. Okay. No, not any Filipinos. Yeah. Yeah, it was like fine arts program. It was like mix and match. They're all from all different places. But yeah, no Filipinos in the art program. Not in my art program. I knew a couple in the other departments.
Yeah, what is this Filipinos love with comics, man? Because even just the other day, so feel artists, all comics. I'm like, wow. And just looking at you know, historically now, so many amazing artists, like, you know, do you know about the Filipino side of the comic book culture at all?
I knew the heroes here, like Will Potastio. Like I just met him recently at Comic-Con when we did a panel. I did the illustration for the panel for a panel called Halo Halo, which is a bunch of like indie Filipino comic creators. They got together and they hired me to do this thing. And they were like, you know who our headliner is? It's going to be Will. You know, and I'm like, what? That's amazing. We're the founders.
Yeah, legend. Wetworks, baby. Whatever. I remember my mother, the image stuff. I wish we would have finished that joint, y'all.
Yeah, we all grew up with that stuff, and it's going strong. So, and I'm glad to be a part of that family. So to be, you know, working with Spawn and Todd McFarlane. So,
yeah. All right. So yeah, let's get into that. And I even before that, you know, talk about, you know, what was it? You know, why did you lead those skills that you were developing into now, you know, starting to build your own universe, and how did that even lead to that book that everybody kind of got eyes on you on called Rise? Because talk about Rise, man, right title, huh?
Well, for most creators, we're like, oh, we're gunning for Marvel, we're gunning for DC, we're gunning for Image. Like, we really want to work for the three. Then early on, I was like, I really have this story I want to tell, and I don't think any of them are going to pick it up because I'm so early in my career. So me and a bunch of other creators got together to create IH Studios, which is our own little publishing company. And the six of us were like, we're going to come up with our own stories, and we're gonna print this thing. So we self-published, and Rise was my story. And that was in 2016. And it's my ongoing story. It was published through IH Studios, and then Scout Comics picked it up. And then now I'm stepping back from Scout Comics, and I'm going to self-publish again. And this thing, you know what a revlog is. I mean, you're doing this podcast, right? You just pour your all into it, and it's exhausting and frustrating, but it's fulfilling, and it's everything. It's your soul, right? So that book is...
We love it. We're masochists. We love the pain that comes with it. You know what I mean?
That's exactly what it is. Like, I schedule that pain in between doctor's appointments and dinner and like teaching martial arts. So, yeah.
Oh, well, you got martial arts. Folks, that was a forewarning that if you go to his table, don't you dare criticize his book, yo.
Yeah, man. I've been studying martial arts for 25 years and have a studio here in San Francisco. So
nice, man. I mean, have you tourneyed at all?
Yeah. Early on, I was late bloomer in the tournament circuit, but then I won the cup here in the region, so California and West Coast, for our association. And then I became a studio owner, so we're not allowed to compete anymore. You know, we train our students and send them off, and we're just proud parents.
So you can't even fight the studio owners, like in a fight.
not the Cobra Kai mentality, but not so much.
All right. So, you know, Rise got you in the map. You're Scout. You know, you're doing your thing. So, how did you start getting approached by some of the bigger boys in the biz? How that all happened?
You know, I don't think the way I did it, or it happens for me and a lot of people I know now, would have been able to do that. Like, 20 years ago, 15 years ago, or even 10 years ago, because social media is really your like ongoing portfolio. What's nice is, and I don't say this a lot, but I'm like, if I never got the degree and I just did what I do now and earlier, maybe I could have done more work earlier, right? But my work is my business partner. So whenever I talk to people who are looking for me, they want to see my work before they like talk to me. And I'm like, great, that's fine, because I'm not a great speaker, but like I love that they just want to see the work, and the work says a lot about my process and about my history and about my techniques. So social media is where D Comics found me. So Michael McAllister found me there. Todd McFarlane found me. That's a funny story that I think is common with a lot of the people he finds on Instagram, because I was listening to some of my colleagues, and he hit me up on Instagram. That's what he does. He's looking for artists himself.
He hits like, you up on Instagram. Yo, listen, that's how I got a movie called. Somebody hit me up on Instagram, and I ignored it because I'm from New York. I'm like, get the fuck out. This is all bullshit. Don't try to scam me. And then somebody that I actually interviewed said, hey, my agent hits you up. Why are you not responding? I said, wait a minute. That was real?
Exactly it. It happens exactly like that. So, yeah, he hit me up with his own personal Instagram. He's like, hey, I'm McFarlane. I really like your work. Would you be interested in a Spawn book? I was like, yeah, okay, yeah, you're Tom McFarlane. This could never possibly happen to me. So I was like, I don't remember what I said. It was something like, yeah, okay, yeah, sure, it sounds great. Whatever. I wasn't expecting anything.
He was just, yeah, going along with it. Sure.
Yep. And then he said, yeah, I'll have Thomas set up something. And I'm like, I don't know who Thomas is. I don't know who you are. So eventually. Yeah. Thomas is the editor over there, who he takes care of all of us, you know. He's right hand man at the House of Spawn. And
my homie Dex told me yesterday, the day before in the last podcast, I said, yeah, Thomas is the man over there.
He is. I see him all the time. He checks in on us, make sure that he's a good liaison between us and the Todd father, and he always makes it a point to reach out to the artists and include us in what they're doing at Comic Cons and projects and things like that. So we get a lot of our news from him. We send all of our drafts and all of our work to him. And he has a really good and small, intimate team over there. And he's really proud we're really proud of the work we're doing, and he's really proud of us. So as long as I keep this going, I'm going to keep it going.
Oof.
Yeah.
It's all about when he started getting ops with the big boys. I mean, whip out. What, bro? Go on, Neil. Look at this, folks.
It's just a dream come true. And it's just the dream was to make a living doing what we do. And, I keep watching podcasts, and I just watched the one, I watch a bunch of podcasts about people who are like, this is how you make big. And I'm like, you don't need to make it big. You just need to keep working. And that's
consistency, baby.
Yeah. So, yeah. And then, DC picked me up for DC Pride 2023 last year. It was a dream project just because, wow, I get to draw Apollo and Midnighter and, a Green Lantern. And Josh Trujillo was my writer. And, it was great.
So let me ask you, brother, as a concept designer, how do you approach, your process here, your storytelling approach? Kind of work here. This is sick. Sick. The love of this type of work right here. And that first big panel, what are you doing? How do you even get into that mindset to tell the story?
Yeah, well, a lot of my inspiration was from the early image work. You know, they broke the rules in terms of paneling and the eye moves across the page and going full bleed and all these kinds of things. And my training, my degree is actually in painting. I'm an oil painter.
Oh, damn.
Yeah. So as soon as I put down the brush when I graduated, I was like, I don't have space. I don't have ventilation to do like oil painting. So I took up digital. And I cried because I'm like, this is a new tool, and I just graduated, and I'm supposed to be on top of the world, but I have to relearn this thing. But in no time, I was like, I guess this is the only way I'm going to do this is to do it digitally, because I'm mobile and it's fast, and I can undo mistakes and I get really quick. So it's sort of a melding of those two things: digital, fast digital work, robust color, and then and on top of that, like my painting. So I'm not really a line guy. Which is why I don't get a lot of work. So a lot of a
They're crazy. They better give you all our more work. I mean, look at his fucking page, bro.
This was an eight pager, and I'm like, the amount of story Josh packed into this eight pages was incredible. And he was like, it was a lot to do, but he trusted me, and Michael trusted me, and it was really great. This isn't the cover. I just put it in the cover just to show everyone. This is my favorite of the covers from the DC Pride.
That's like a whole magazine joint and shit. It's crazy. Oh man, what the fuck, bro? That's a wild business going on right there, boy.
This is the Killadelphia number 33 coming out next month. I'm cover B, and Jason Shaw and Alexander got me so on Instagram, and I hope he's not watching because I'm about to gush, but like, he's one of my heroes right now. He is a brilliant gallery painter and comic artist and creator. Person to reach out and ask you to do a cover for his book, I'm like, I'm sorry, you have to be fake, because I can't handle this. But he said he liked my work, and he's like, I've got this take, and can you do Savage Dragon versus Werewolves? And I'm like, fuck yeah, I'm gonna do that.
Are you really asking me this? This is not even a question. When?
Yeah. I try so hard to keep my cool, but I'm really not great at it. So I, you know, I'm jumping in my seat, and I saw him at New York Comic Con, and gave him a hug and thanked him so hard for, and I did the same with Todd McFarlane. He walked around like after Comic Con at San Diego, and he came and visited the booth when I was tearing it down. He was like eating a granola bar, and I'm like stuffing like underwear and stuff back into my trunk. Like I was like all haphazard about it. And he walks up and just to say hi. And, they're really down to earth. Folks who are hiring me to do the work, who are trusting me to do the work. So I'm really blessed for that.
So how do you adapt your artistic style then to fit in with the Spawn universe and, you know, and the stuff that you're working on within it?
Oh, what's that?
So how do you adapt your artistic style to fit within, you know, the style of the Spawn universe?
Well, when he was looking at my work on Instagram, and he actually did a portfolio review, and he's like, this is what works. I like this. I like this. This isn't working so great. I love that he was unapologetic about what he didn't like, what wasn't working. I'm like, oh, that's awesome.
That's constructive. Yeah. That's real. That's what you need.
Yeah, so constructive. And he even picked out the pieces I didn't necessarily like. And he was like, why'd you put this up? Like, if you didn't like it. I'm like, that's a really good point. Why did I do that? And he said, I'm leaning into the horror world for Spawn when we're going to explore the books. And I really want to lean into the horror. And I'm like, that's where I live. Like, that's Bram Stoker's Dracula in 1992. Francis Ford Coppola is my favorite movie. And
bro, I saw that in the movie theater, bro.
I never saw it in the movie theater. I saw it well after, because I was too
young. Weekend. Well, sorry. Oh,
that's awesome. That's still scary. I love that movie.
That was a great movie. I loved it. On the big screen, it really doesn't make a difference. It really is a great movie. You got to experience it, I think, on a big screen. A lot of people talk shit about it. Like, no, it's a good fucking vampire movie. You nuts? It is.
You're like the only other person who like is as enthusiastic about that movie. I'm like, acting aside from some of them, it's the Dracula I've ever seen. Like Gary.
Yeah, well, for Gary Oldman and Dracula, are you fucking nuts, guys? Are you not understanding what you get?
God, I'm working on a Dracula piece just as a tribute to him and his work in that book. I can't draw it and look at the movie and be like, I can't draw that. That was already perfect for me. So. Yeah. But I really wanted to contribute. But he wanted me to lean into the horror. He wanted all of us to lean in the horror. And I was like, all right, let's go. I'm gonna channel some of that blood red. And we're taught in painting not to use like jet black. Yeah. So but like in the digital canvas, I'm like, I wonder what happens if I go back into the black, especially since I'm not an inker. The only place where I get to use like full black. So I'm still learning, and he's got a style.
God, jeez.
Yeah. For this was my first one. That red one was my first one for him. And he, the original draft was like, you remember in the 90s when it was like torn up and tattered shreds? Like that was the style for the. This original one was like that. And he actually looked at it and he was like, the note back was smooth that out. We're actually not going to do the shredded cape anymore. Like that was the one note I got. And he was like, other than that, it's working. Let's go. So I was like, I got one note back. And that gave me the confidence to like finish the piece. And since then, I've just been, blessed enough that they like my work and they want to keep using Merc. So.
Bro,
it's been a ride.
This is live, so anime-ish right here. This comes to life, this junk right here. Jeez.
My friend gave me the original Spawn action figure, the first edition.
Yeah.
As a gift because I got the contract with Todd and gave it to me and I looked at it and it's like all yellowed and stuff and it was old. And I was like, I gotta get this signed by him. So once I got, I went to Comic-Con and he came to the booth. My hands are shaking and I'm like, Todd, can you sign my Spawn action figure? And he's like, absolutely. And he signed it. And that's why I did this.
Like I should get my originals. I got the original 7 because, you know, there was the special edition hamburger piece.
Oh, yeah. So it was, what is Spawn over? Clown.
Yeah, there was two Spawns, which is one of them was Hamburger, then Violator, Overkill, Tremor, Medieval, and Violator.
Oh my god. Oh yeah. Tremor. That's so cool. You have the whole set? My god. Are they like pristine or are they like untouched?
Yeah, they're untouched, you know, in the box still. That's why they're hanging up dead. That I only ones that really kept closed. Everything else I opened because they're too awesome to fucking keep in the box. That's one of my. I have that figure, the Redeemer, with with the angel wings.
It's so beautiful. I need that figure.
Oh. Yeah, it's a gorgeous figure for me. One of my boys gave me that for Christmas a long time ago. One of my faves. And then I always thought we'd remake that one to be more poseable because that is such a difficult. It comes. It's more like a statue, but. It's gorgeous nonetheless, though, the wings.
Yeah, it's not really complaining, right? It's like, it's good that it's a statue, but let's get an update.
You would love a full on that. Hell yeah. Oh, look at this. Yo, Wild Salmon Twitch, you know, getting their own book, too. Woo!
Oh, yeah. So I'm working on the Salmon Twitch cover now. So this is one of these for King Spawn. It just came out, I think, last month, the month before. I did this piece for fun. It was an old draft. And then I was like, oh, I got to go all out with this and make it urban and things like that. I sent it over and they really liked it. And I was glad because I'm particularly of this piece. And I hid in the back there. So I'm excited for their new book and all the new books that are coming out this year. They did an announcement at New York. For a bunch of new books with amazing creative teams. I got to meet some of them at New York, so it was really cool.
So you're gonna be having a lot of fun then this coming year, huh?
Yeah, we're kicking off. I'm about to submit actually a couple new drafts I've been working on, but some finished pieces for some covers. I can't show those right now though.
What is up, man? When you do this, bro, you do these covers absolutely effing insane.
Thanks, man. This one, I was having fun with this one too. I didn't know if they were gonna like it.
Manny being humble here, talking man shit. I didn't know what this is.
I did a portfolio review with Marvel, and they were like, "Well, everyone's doing this right now," and they're like, "It's great and all," but I'm like, "Well, I'm playing with the style," and then, but then I submitted this, and they really liked it, and I wanted Jessica Priestess, you know, without in human form.
It was badass. I'm digging the shit out of this. What? And they go, oh, man, Haunt, bro.
This was tough. I wanted the graveyard scene. I want something.
Yeah, man. You got going on here. This is wild, yo.
Thanks, dude.
He's really freaky looking in this mother for real. Holy shit.
You have a freaky one. Yeah, this was my first haunt that I ever did. So I was playing around with like texture and movement and things like that. So this one was fun. It took a while though. It took a while to get here. A lot of drafts. Been around a couple times, played with color a lot. I'm glad it turned out though.
And then, oh man, look at this bastard here.
This was, if you're religious, this is a note back to my, what was religious. And when I was studying painting, this is St. Michael playing the dragon. That was that old piece. So it was kind of a tribute to Gothic religious text, but I had some fun.
I need to see this guy get consistently beat. That's what he needs. Oh, yeah.
This was another one that I had fun with because he's sitting on my desk, and I love that figure. And I went all out. Just like,
you
I don't
got
know.
OG? Yeah. You got the OG or the mini edition? All of them.
The newer one.
It's the one I got find. The OG and the.
I imagine you do. I was going to guess that you do.
Yeah, I'm sick. But yeah, I know myself.
It's funny. Yeah, I didn't know if they were going to take it, but they did. And then I was like, I hope they publish it. And,
you and really?
It's announced. So this one's coming pretty soon. It's not out yet. I'm so happy they went with it because I'm so proud of this one.
I want to see you do a whole story inside with him and the other dude in blue and just kick ass.
That would be fun.
Twins. Twin spawns of that era. Twin samurai spawns from Japan. Oh, whatever. That'll be fucking fire. Wow. I need a poster. And then, you know, this is what I have used to make, but this is amazing looking. So, of course, you know, I'm an OG and, you know, Wanda, of course, is the love is life. You know, because one is also a love story. You know, that's why I connect with it. Again, maybe you too. Again, you know what is Dracula, but also a love story, you know? Mm-hmm. A man fucking broken heart that was forever punished.
That's it. That's what it's not a vampire story.
Yeah, great. Get it right, people. What the fuck? You see, I'm happy I found somebody that actually likes it too. Oh, shit.
Yeah,
hey, bro, you're getting a BM. You're going to New York Comic Con next year.
I know Todd's devoted to his wife, but I was like, I wanted to do a tribute piece to that and to the love story between these two. And I wanted to, you know, bring in some composite and some portraiture. So I was like playing with a lot of different things here. And sort of testing the grounds as to what they were looking for and what they were accepting at Calvin Crum Productions. Like, I was sort of new at this time, and I was like, I wonder if they'll do this take, like if they accept something like this, something with a little more of the drama of it. And they took it, and I was like, awesome. Then I think I see that I'm expanding some of my own boundaries. So that was a really important litmus test. For me, for subject matter, yeah.
Gorgeous cover, gorgeous. Yo.
Thanks. Oh yeah, and I went all Michael Bay that night with this.
No pun intended. He went ape on this one, boy.
Yeah. This one took a long time because I was like studying Mac stuff like that. I did this one and a version of Overkill at the same time because I was studying this and I was like drawing Megazord and all kinds of things. I was in a phase. I'm still in that phase, but and then I was doing I like had a robot mech reference on this side of my screen, and on the other side I had ape, gorilla, monkey, organic stuff, and it was really great way to throw them together.
I gotta get that figure. I gotta get Saigo, and I gotta get they have a newer Overkill. I got the second version too. That was the big one.
Yeah. It's massive.
That's one of the most gorgeous. It's just not, again, articulate enough, but it's all right. Holy shit. Look at it.
This is one of my favorites. That blue, I don't usually paint in. So when it was mostly that blue, I was like, and to make blue scary, like I was trying to do that. I was trying to make it, you know, pop and be ominous, and it was hard to do because blues are, to me, it's like a peaceful color.
You gotta check it out. Big shout out to Fairburn. He said he mentioned Emerald City. You know, he still got the book to sign for him.
Hey, Yeah. Awesome. Nice to see you.
Awesome, bro. Awesome.
Oh,
how to make a bald old man look creepy, boy. Look at this. I see that I'm going through an alleyway or some shit. I'm out. I ain't asking questions, especially coming at me looking like that. I'm leaving. Bye.
You're so fun, man. That's awesome. I did this one with he had just premiered. And didn't have the references. There was only a couple references of him, so there's not too much to work from. So he was a tough one to do, but he was really fun to do.
Hey, but I love that little thing. Creepy AF, yo. Yeah, and that's the art there, folks, you know. And I like that homie, you know, brought up the question about the comic. We're going to get into that in a moment. But of course, mi gente, is what you got to do. Got to follow my man on IG and my same name, Art Adong Aguillo. All right? Me entiende, all right?
That's so awesome.
Oh, and then, of course, website. It's also artadongaguillo.square.site, all right? Mm-hmm. The links are below, too. I made it easy for y'all, all right? You got to show that love. Show that love. Nah, says my homie say he mentioned Emerald City, you know, back in end of the year of the double deuce. You know, we're now in 2024. What's popping, man? Do you know where you're going to be at this year? What are the plans? Yeah. What's in store for us, you know, from the Aguilloverse, huh?
Yeah, man. The Comic-Con 2023, like that whole year, it was an experimental, expensive year because I tried to do as many shows as I can to get like my feet wet in everything. So I did everything from like Dragon Con, Emerald City, Rose Diddy, LA Comic Con, San Francisco. That's in our backyard. So I want to make sure that show gets big. I hope it gets big. So all my neighbors here, our colleagues here, we're all like supporting that show. Did San Diego, New York. So next year, San Diego, New York, I'm trying to get in, but as of right now, San Diego's locked in. Emerald City's locked in. Gonna try and get into WonderCon. We're still waiting to hear back. Uncanny Experience, which is sort of like a whole weekend extravaganza in a mansion with a bunch of X-Men podcast and cosplay groups. They're putting it on. I want to go there with some of my work, so it's going to be a really fun experimental year. But I'm not going to do too many Comic-Cons because I got to be able to, you know, afford it. But at the same time, I have a lot of work to do, and I'm blessed that I get to do that. I'm blessed that the reason I can't go to some Comic Cons is because I have to stay at home and do the project.
And get it done. So that way you get some books to get signed. We get it.
Yeah.
Way. That's what it is. He fucking it's all a plan, you know, because he can't keep signing the same old stuff. It got to produce. Yep. Leave the man to work sometimes, all right?
That's it. You know it. Yeah. And it's really fun, like getting to know people. So every time we go to Comic Con, there's a ton of people to say hi to, and I have new people to like pick brains. Jason Sean Alexander, I just asked him in New York. I'm like, what's it like to have a family and do what we do? And you know, like, you got to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning, and from that to 6 o'clock, it's your time, and then it's their time until 8. You know, it's like, wow, you're really disciplined. So I'm going to try out some new things this year.
Hey, get up early. It helps. Dude, that morning silence, they ain't lying about it. I get so productive. Even when I'm on a day off, I wake up at, you know, 3 a.m., sit down at 4 a.m. to start working. And it's like, yo, the peace. Effing great, dude.
That's crazy. I'm still up at 3. Like, I'm on that end of the candle. Yeah.
Yeah, I keep going. It's funny when I wake up and I have people in the East Coast that are just going to bed. They're like, what the hell are you doing up? What do you mean? I got to work, bro. I just saw you doing some shit on the site. So I figured, say hello. I freaked out. When the hell am I holding this guy up? But it's what we got to do, man. To, you know, make sure that we keep doing what we love and have to, you know, and get our work done, you know, to take care of our day lives, if you will, and go from there. A passion. So talking about passions, man, how do you keep yours alive, and what do you, you know, suggest for them youngins trying to step into the game too, like you? You stepped in on fire, bro, on the volcano, wepa.
Yeah. No, but I'm, you know what? I'm really jealous of young artists right now. And just in a good way, you know, they have so many resources at their fingertips, but to have the people who are hiring me now constantly looking anyway for new artists, it's like, as long as you're able to work and as long as you're legally able to work, like it doesn't matter what age, what background, what degree, if you can do the work and get it out there and you are constantly a student of your craft, you're constantly trying to learn and push your boundaries and you're like, don't get in a slump. You don't have an ego, right? And then you're able to take constructive criticism. Then they're going to hire you because they know they can work with you on top of being good. And the cool thing is too, they're looking for people who have room to grow too. That's the big thing. So do you have to be a superstar? Not necessarily. You got to be good, but you also have to have all these other things. You got to know how to, you know, work with people, collaborative process, and you got to know how to have a work ethic. Too many artists, colleagues, they're just like, oh yeah, it's oversaturated market. There's too many of us. I'm like, no, the people who like our work still outnumber us by the billions. So it's like, whatever you're doing, someone out there is going to like it. And, somehow if you keep at it and you get good or confident in what you do, find those people and they'll keep food on the table. Please.
You got email here. One is it time to commission you with some Wave Bishop collab?
Oh, that's interesting. I am, speaking of the Marvel stuff, I'm working on Marvel Snap work right now. I'm doing some work for Upper Deck at the same time, doing some Marvel pieces. So look out for those. I can't say which ones I'm doing or what projects I'm on, but I'll let people know what they are. But it's cool because I get to work on some characters I've been wanting to for a while.
Oh man, that must be fun. So, you know, drawing some iconic characters, I'm sure. You know?
Yeah. Yeah, it's fun. Remember, it was my first like foray into the industry. So like X-Men's up on my wall, but to have an X-Man to draw for a licensed project, I'm just like, that's a lot of pressure again. But you know, we live for this high, right? Like that pressure keeps me going. I got to get it right.
You man, it's really, you know, because he's here. Do you have any word on Marvel getting you to do Wave, our PNA superhero heroine?
I can't say.
It's a nightmare, man. Stop pulling teeth over here. You know what I mean?
Let's say I am working on it. Yeah. And there are some fires in the coal. Is that how you say that? Is that the expression? There are fires. Yeah.
All right. Let's see. Something's going on. Leave it alone. How about this Paul versus Wave?
Actually, you know what? All of these suggestions are really good just to have some fun. So another thing I'm doing in 2024, if you pay attention to the Instagram, is I'm going to be doing some live drawing sessions just in the middle of the day. And I'm going to be inviting.
Are they going to be random? You say? Is it scheduled?
I'm going to have a once a week scheduled, but I'll be pulling some random. And I'll pull some of my art friends, another one of the, Spawn artists on there too. And we'll just draw and I might take some prompts. So
you do a Spawn off.
Yeah. Yeah. It's going to be fun. But yeah, I wanted to do that in 23, but Comic-Con.
I was in the fire. You said.
Yep. Colt's in the fire.
I have a reason, folks. I don't want to endorse those reasons right now.
What collections do you want to buy? Is that G.I. Joe? What is that?
Oh yeah, I got all bunch of stuff. On the top is I have the G.I. Joe classified, but how I do them, however, because look at me, I'm OG, right? In front of each one is the actual original figure. Get the one that have the original. So you know, I got the original Cobra Viper, the original. Ooh. I have the non-swivel arm Cobra Soldier. All right. I got Crimson Guard, Cobra Commander, the helmet one. I wanted to get the hooded. I got OG Destro, OG Firefly, and then I got all the OG Dreadnought.
Wow.
Are
they slotted or are they like side by side so you can see them?
I have them standing in front of the classified. But I keep my classifieds in a box. And then
yeah, so, I would
wide full of Megatron, dedicated to my villain Megatron. So, all to herself, and then it was spawned on another. The only good guy in those shows is the Incredible Hulk. And is he really that good when he destroys cities and buildings?
That's a good point.
I like those violent guys. I can't help it. I like my violence, man. So I'm what you do, man. You make them look bloody and violent and wonderful. All right, brother. Great time, man. I can't wait. You know, these doors are welcome and open for you to come through anytime, brother. I appreciate the energy and sharing with us. As a fan, Spawn fan especially, yo, thank you, bro, for kicking ass the way you do, bro. Yes, I only collect villains. That's only thing I do. I even got Mumm-Ra, you know, transformed, and the Mummy. I haven't displayed that yet. You know, I only like villains. I can't help it. I think they're cool looking figures. The bad guys, you could get a little too blank.
Huh? In the classified one, the villains are the coolest ones. Yeah, I agree.
I mean, come on, bro. Well, I even got a Croc-Master. I got the OG 2 complete. You know, the hose on the figure, which is, you know, what people tend to lose.
That's the deluxe figure with the actual crocodile, right?
Yeah. And I have the original complete with the whip and everything.
Oh, my God.
Well, I'm an OG king. My brother saw these. They go, oh, man, so you did keep those. No wonder you gave us the shitty one. They're like, shitty, you should have kept all of those. Oh, awesome, coming out now. What are you talking about? I have some OGs to get rid of. I got volume 3 and 4 of Snake Eyes, volume 2 of version 2, you know, of Storm Shadow. I got Jinx.
I have Jinx, yeah.
I have a couple, you know, that of the small ones that I'm probably going to get. Beachhead. Dial tone complete. Then I want to get rid of General Hawk. Yeah, I want to replace the villains. I only want the bad guys on my shows. Get out of here.
Well, that'd be pretty funny.
Yeah. So, all right, folks, you saw that. We got Mad Gossip, right? So, you got tons of stuff coming out, stuff that we love, all right? You know, Eamon's where he had to pull his teeth over here, all right? And our man corrected us about closing the fire, so thank you for that. We appreciate that. But thank you, everybody, for tuning in and hanging out. Yo, I'm going to show it one last time. Show the love to an amazing artist that is right here in Don Aguillo, IG, Meta Art of Don Aguillo. Yeah, I'm going to say that's all Latino, because us Filipinos, Latinos, I'll just say, yo, hardest working people in the business, man. And then that website, there, show love, because that's what we do. Follow my people, right? You know, not just Comic Crusaders, but also Undercover Case. We got my boy Johnny Houston outside the panels. Got me hinted doing Defender Crusade, No Price Podcast, and so much more. I appreciate you guys. You know what it is. Stay tuned in daily, weekly. We always got new stuff dropping. Hasta la próxima. Much love. Uepa!
Thank you for listening to the Comic Crusaders Podcast. If you like the content, please subscribe and turn on notifications. Also, please visit ComicCrusaders.com and our extended podcast family over at UndercoverCapes.com. And also, make sure to download the Comic Crusaders app on the Google Play Store today.